And good afternoon, folks. My name's Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Wednesday, the 1st of June. Hope you guys are having a lovely day out there. And today is going to be a bit of a climate change special. We're going to have Rachel Goddard in the studio a bit later on to have a chat about that. And so I'll pick songs that are kind of climate change kind of themed. And while I get the headlines organised, not super organised, here we are, Up From the Skies, Jimi Hendrix. Listen out for the line in this one that says, come back to find the world is burned and might be a change of climate. I was actually talking to station manager Aaron about this yesterday, because the whole song is sung from like Jimi Hendrix being an alien's point of view. And Aaron suggested maybe Jimi Hendrix was an alien. And maybe Aaron, maybe he is. All right, here we are, Up From the Skies.
I just want to talk to you. I want to do you no harm. I just want to know about your different lives. I heard some of people fall. I heard some you got your families living in cages, tall and cold. Some just stay there and dust away past the age of old. Is this true? Please let me talk to you. I just want to know about the rooms behind your minds. Do I see a vacuum there, or am I growing blind? Or is it just a remains for vibrations echoes long ago? Things like love the world and let your fancy flow. Is this true? Please let me talk to you. Let me talk to you. I have lived here before, the days of ice. And of course this is why I'm so concerned. And I come back to find the stars displaced and the smell of a world that is burned. A smell of the world that is burned. Yeah, well, maybe maybe it's just a just wanna see. So where do I purchase my ticket? I just like to have a ringside seat. I wanna know about the new Mother Earth. I wanna hear and see everything. I wanna hear and see everything. I wanna hear and see everything.
Jimi Hendrix here with Up From the Skies. And now it's time for the primary sector headlines here on the Over the Fence show. Four more large farms have been approved for sale to overseas companies to plant pine trees, the Overseas Investment Office has revealed. An 1,100-hectare sheep and beef farm in Waimumu near Gore will be converted into pines by the Dutch parent company of IKEA, the furniture-making crowd. I think it's in Scandinavia, I think. Te Papa Station in Ormond near Gisborne was sold to a Canadian forestry company. Glen Tui Station in Tolaga Bay and Birch Hill in southern Wairarapa was sold to an Austrian company. And the government has committed $34.5 million over the next 4 years to go to the Māori agribusinesses. The funding will go towards the Ministry of Primary Industries Māori Agribusiness Extension Program, which was launched in 2019. Associate Agricultural Minister Mekka Waititi said the investment will boost support for Māori agribusinesses to explore new products and markets and provide workforce skills and training initiatives that will create new jobs and increase productivity of their primary sector assets. And a Tetzel product used by dairy farmers can now be recycled. Zotus, the company that makes the plastic syringes that contain the Tetzel product, has partnered with 67 different vet clinics nationwide who will act as collection points for the tubes, which will then be sent to Future Post to recycle them into farm products. And I think Future Post actually makes fence posts out of plastic, so good initiative there. Natalie Bunn, Zotus' dairy product manager, said the scheme was in its second year, and last year we filled the equivalent of 12,744 kgs of plastic saved from the landfill. So that's a good news story. And new research has found there is not enough rain and river water in Canterbury to dilate nitrate pollution from dairy farming to acceptable drinking water standards. The study, led by Dr. Mike Joy, shows every litre of milk produced in the region needs up to 11,000 litres of water to dilute the pollution. It's a big number from its production. Joy said that dairy farming in Canterbury was unsustainable, and its legacy of failure springs from both central and local government. Yeah, and I guess, to my mind, there's certain areas of New Zealand that definitely should not be in dairy farms, and Canterbury's certainly one of those ones, I think, anyways. And the sharing sector is being encouraged to increase minimum pay rates in a bid to retain workers. Sharing gangs around the country have been short-staffed ever since the border closed, as workers normally roam between New Zealand and Australia for work. But even now, with the borders open, the shortage hasn't eased. The New Zealand Sharing Contractors Association is recommending companies raise the minimum rates sharers are paid, and also shed hands and presses recommended to be increased by 20%, and sharers by between 7 and 13%. So, yes, crucial to the primary industry, the shearing gangs. So that's, hopefully solid up the numbers there. And Dairy NZ and Niwa, with guidance from Fish and Game Council, have teamed up to create a guide to help farmers get the most out of their wetlands. The guide features a Grey and Marilyn Baldwin's wetland on their 713-hectare dairy farm, where over 12,000 native plants were put in. Their wetland removes 60% of nitrogen, 70% of sediment, and 20% of phosphorus runoff from the water it received. The new guidelines recommend increasing wetlands from 1% to 5% of a catchment area. So that's gone a bit of a shaky old headlines, but there we are, we got through it. And so keeping on our theme of climate change related songs, got heaps, so probably won't fit them all in today, unfortunately, but here's one from Marvin Gaye, Mercy, Mercy Me.
The blue skies blow. Poison is the wind that blows from the north and south and east. Oh, mercy, mercy me. All things and what they used to be lost. Oil wasted on the oceans and upon our seas. Fish full of mercury. Mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. Radiation underground and in the sky. Animals and birds who live nearby are dying. Mercy, mercy me. All things ain't what they used to be. What about this overcrowded land? How much more be you from man? Can't you stand?
Marvin Gaye there with Mercy, Mercy Me. And now it's time for weather here on the Over the Fence show, coming to you live from the Raglan Community Radio HQ in Bow Street here, 98.1 FM, and also to our friends on Free FM 89.0. And thanks for tuning in, or you may be listening back on a podcast sometime in the future, or maybe even live off Raglan Community Radio's flash new website. Either way, so I hope you're enjoying the show and weather. Like I say, the airflow over New Zealand today is strong from the north or northwest, and it sure is. Coastal areas on the west of both islands will likely experience strong winds. The winds will likely be stronger through the central areas, especially Cook Strait, with gales through Banks Peninsula north. And in the east, they may see some gusty northerly winds today. There's a possibility of thunderstorms today in the west, with cold upper air and some forcing either through a front moving through or air being pushed up by mountain ranges, causing some instability today. And yeah, that kind of, there's a couple of bands coming through, and they're just kind of south of the Waikato, but certainly through Taranaki and into the South Island for sure. I saw those bands, but yeah, it doesn't look like thunderstorms here in Whangaroa today, which is a good thing. And now, where was I? Yes, the west coast of the South Island has the biggest risk of storms. Taranaki and Wellington may also get some thunder. Southwesterlies pushing over the South Island overnight. And Thursday, then it moves northward, and Friday into the North Island. So the showers will push up the east coast of the South Island, but not much precipitation involved with those ones. And the southerlies will push into the lower North Island on Friday afternoon. So expect some rain, with chance of heavy falls moving into Hawke's Bay and Gisborne in the evening. And a high moves in on Saturday with mainly settled weather from there, so the weekend's looking pretty good. Here in the Waikato, showers today, thunderstorms likely tomorrow, with showers possible from Friday for the rest of the week. And yes, pretty much showery on and off. And daytime temperatures range from 19 degrees today to between 15 and 17 degrees Celsius for the rest of the week. Nighttime temperatures are 14 degrees this evening, 13 degrees tomorrow evening, and then somewhere between 10 and 13 degrees for the rest of the week. Apart from Saturday, which is going to drop down to 7 degrees Celsius, coldest night of the week. I suppose because it'll be clear in the weather. And the winds, yeah, they're blowy all right. They're from the northwest today, tomorrow. Moving westerly Friday, then east-southeasterly into the weekend. Then northeast, moving west, nor-northeast on Tuesday. And back to northwest again next Wednesday. And the sunrise today was at 7:27 a.m. and will set this evening at 5:11 p.m. And the length of visible light is 10 hours and 41 minutes. The actual day length is 9 hours and 43 minutes. And tomorrow will be 1 minute and 1 second shorter than today. And the moon, ladies and gentlemen, is a waxing crescent, somewhere between 2 and 4% illuminated. And it rose at 8:54 this morning and will set at 6:10 this evening. And the rainfall, Ron Rumble out there in Rupuki had 22 mils. Thank you, Ron. Craig up to Utawa had 52 mils. It's just top of the pops today. Thank you for that, Craig. Chris out Okiti had 43 mils. And Callum at Three Streams had 44 mils. So pretty, yeah, about half. Yeah, pretty similar on this side of the mountain. But, yeah, Rupuki over there only had 22 mils. So there we are. There's the weather, folks. Now I'm going to play a few. Another climate change related song called Moon Over Marin by the Dead Kennedys.
Stings my eyes, I still find time to exercise in a uniform with two white stripes. Unlock my section of the sand, it's fenced off to the water's edge. I clamp a gas mask on my head on my beach at night. Hit the rocks, abandoned to spill at it.
mean matters. Try not to step on any bones. I turn around, then I go home. I slip back through my basement door, swing sharp, fall, then I open below. Dive in the scalding wooden tub. Fire on beach at night, buried in my moon.
That's Dead Kennedys there with Moon Over Marin. Hope you enjoyed that one. Now, so I have the gardening, some gardening to-dos here for the week. And if you're gardening by the moon, ladies and gentlemen, this week's a good time to grow microgreens and sprouts as it gets colder. So you can bring your gardening operations on your window ledge to a certain extent. And maintenance on the garden. Good time to lift and divide your overcrowded asparagus beds and plant out new crowns and stake and support your broad beans if they're up and going at the moment. And what can you plant? Well, new month, new things to plant. So here we go, folks. Apples, blackberries, blueberries, bok choy, cabbage, cyclamen, daffodil, feijoas, garlic, hyacinth, kale, lettuce, mesclun, onions, parsley, peas, peaches, pears, plums, polyanthus, primula, pansies, radish, raspberries, rose, silver beet, spinach, strawberries, tulip, and viola. So all these things you can get amongst in the garden as winter begins. All right, so sticking with our climate change-y kind of songs. Here's one from Talking Heads called Nothing But Flowers. And listen out for the line that talks about, if this is a paradise, I'm going to need a lawnmower.
Now it's only fields and trees. some peaceful oasis. You got it, you got it. This was a Pizza Hut, now it's all covered with daisies. You got it, you got it. I miss the honky tonks, Dairy Queens and 7-Elevens. You got it, you got it. And as things fell apart, nobody paid much attention.
That was the Talking Heads with Nothing But Flowers there. As always, you can get a hold of me here on the Over the Fence show on overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com. That's overthefenceradioshow@gmail.com. If you want any feedback, good, bad, otherwise, it's all good. Public service announcement. The Raglan Area School is closed today and tomorrow due to too many...
Tomorrow and the next day.
Sorry, Aaron informs me. Tomorrow and the next day, the school will be closed due to... COVID ripping through the place, so yeah, no school tomorrow or the next day. And also, right outside in the entranceway to the Bow Street Town Hall here is the Whangarei Environment Centre Aroha stand, and so you can just wander up there, grab some seeds and some containers, some punnets and some seed raising mix, take them home, give them water, and ella, there goes your veggies. And I did go to the science night that they had with the other night that the Whangarei Environment Centre organised, and it was very good. Very good talk by Phil McCabe about chasm and the history of it and what's happening with it at the moment. And there's another one coming up in a few weeks, but I will keep informed about that as time goes by. All right, now I'm going to play you another climate change-y kind of song. It's by the Pixies called Monkey Gone to Heaven, and... talks about ozone layer depletion and also ocean pollution mixed in with Hebrew numerology. So there you go. Check this one out.
Devil is six.
Devil is six.
Devil is six.
Devil is six.
Right, so that was the Pixies there with This Monkey's Gone to Heaven. And right now I'm going to play you a song by The Weather Station called Atlantic. Another climate change kind of focused song. And then while that's playing, I'll get a hold of our guest today. You actually can't come to the studio because Carl won't go. But I'm going to get her on the phone. And so we come back with her very shortly, Rachel Goddard.
Yeah.
And that was the weather station here with Atlantic. Rachel Goddard, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for coming on.
Kia ora, Craig.
There you are in Raglan, just down the road, but a few problems with the car today.
Yes, and the phone by the sounds of it.
Yeah, phone problems this end and, yeah, problems that end. But never mind, here we are. And I guess, firstly, Rachel, I guess, tell us a little bit about yourself. And you're obviously interested in climate change, and how did you sort of get an interest in that kind of thing?
Okay, well, I guess if we go right back maybe 30 years ago, I was at university studying ecology and environmental science, and it sort of morphed, I guess, a lot later into climate change. 30 years ago, we didn't really talk about climate change. It was more sustainability, and even then, it was a bit of a sort of greeny, hippie word. It's now more mainstream. And I studied at university for 8 years and then set up a consultancy and had a number of jobs. And then more recently, I was at the university heading sustainability there. And now I am at Waikato District Council as their senior advisor for climate action.
Yeah. I mean, is that the first council role in the country like that? Do you know?
No, it's not. A couple of councils already have climate advisors. Some of them don't at all. And obviously, it's a key role. It goes across so many different areas. It's a very broad job, as you can imagine. There's so many different facets to it, from, you know, risk to hazard, you know, coastal hazards, erosion, strategy, there's infrastructure, there's education, behavior change, planning, you know, tracking, benchmarking. It's a very, very broad role. You know, most councils should have that position. And, yeah, like I said, some do and some don't. But it's becoming more pivotal, I think, you know, with the moves with the government, with, you know, the emissions reduction plan and the carbon neutral program, you know, our commitments internationally with the IPCC, with the COP26 and the IPCC report. So it's, and it's, yeah, it's happening. I mean, you can see it's happening now. So, you know, it's time that we adapt and try and mitigate what we're doing.
Yeah, and you've only been in the role not very long, have you?
No, at council, I've been here about 8 months.
Okay.
Already getting a lot of traction. Council are very committed to climate change, which is great. So we're developing.
Yeah, that's good strategy. To hear, because, yeah, I could see it easily being a token position, but, yeah, if they're actually, you know, committed to it, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I know the budget just came out and it was kind of called the climate change budget. I mean, have you had time to have a good look at that, and what does that kind of mean?
Yeah, I have. I wrote a summary on it on LinkedIn. If you're interested, you can look on there and have a look at it. My views, personal views, it's a really good first start, considering it was cross-party collaboration. They've covered a lot of aspects from, you know, behavior change to having multi-lens and consideration, working with iwi. You know, it covers waste, water, energy, agriculture, travel. But in terms of if it will be achieved, if it will reduce our emissions in time, that is not clear, and the targets are not clear. So I'm not sure how we're going to achieve that. But it's a good first start.
And I guess, I know I've been reading a bit of sort of commentary about it, and a lot of people are saying, oh man, why aren't the, you know, agriculture in particular paying straight away? But I know they set aside a few million for like an agri kind of hub kind of thing. Do you know much about that?
I've read a number of articles and comments, and some people think that the agriculture sector has been let off lightly because they're not part of the emissions trading scheme. And in New Zealand, you know, agriculture is almost 50% of our emissions. In fact, even in the Waikato region, our emission for that sector is almost 70%. So it's a lot higher. It's a really difficult one because you've got that tension between, you know, agriculture being the backbone of the economy, excuse the pun, especially in the Waikato region, and then on the flip side, being one of the most, you know, highest contributing, you know, greenhouse gas emission sectors. So in terms of, I think it's like 68.5% for the Waikato region from agriculture, but it's 56% of methane within that number, and it's the methane that's more damaging. So over an 85-year period, over a 20-year period, methane's about 85 times stronger, and that's the area that we're having to tackle, and we deal with that separately. So I don't know, to answer your question, I don't know about the centre, but, I mean, we have to look at ways of changing how we farm, and that's not easy for farmers, and I completely understand and support that difficulty. But I guess the fact is we know our climate's changing. We know we're having more, you know, extreme events in terms of flooding and storm and drought. We know the last 10 years was the hottest on record. And as a consequence, you know, productivity drops on farms as well. So people make that connection. And I'm not here to debate why it's happening. We just, you know, we know it is. So it's like having, you know, what can we do about it? How can we address that? You know, can we look more at mixed crops or regen? You know, is this new ag research centre going to be around, you know, addressing the microbes in the gut of ruminants that are causing the methane? You know, there's all sorts of options to look at, but, you know, we will have to look at transitioning or looking at some changes or means to mitigate and adapt.
Yeah, for sure. And methane's it's an interesting one because it's a lot of people say, oh, methane, you know, it's only short-lived, don't worry about it, and, you know, it disappears really quickly. But a 20-year period's actually a lot longer than I actually thought it was, to be honest.
Yeah, it's got huge warming potential. It's much, much stronger than CO2. We all focus on CO2. We always say, oh, carbon emissions. It's like, well, we should really say greenhouse gas emissions because there's lots of other gases that, yeah, even water vapor is a greenhouse gas. Nitrous oxide, there's all sorts of greenhouse gases, but carbon dioxide is one of the main ones. Methane, there's a smaller amount of it released, but it's got much, much stronger warming potential. So when those molecules of methane go up into the atmosphere, they trap the sunlight, and it sort of shakes up the molecules, and they grab onto the light, and then they sometimes release it and reflect it back into Earth, I guess, and that's helping to warm up the planet.
Hmm. Agriculture for sure in New Zealand is a big thing, and yeah, like you say, especially in the Waikato. And I know there's a lot of initiatives underway at the moment. Do they come across your desk, like trying to change? There's a lot of research being done on plantain, for example, as to whether that as a feed for stock actually reduces methane, and there's lots of bolus technologies out there now which sit in the animal stomachs and things like that. Do you get to see all these initiatives kind of happening in your role?
Not particularly in my role. I try and keep up to date, obviously, with all the latest literature and research. So I have 30 years working in the sustainability sector, but agriculture is not my area per se, but I'm very interested to see what's happening. You know, there's a lot of research going into plant-based products, precision fermentation, where they're taking the bacteria that's already existing, that mimics bacteria that live in, you know, the guts of cows, to make products that taste or look and feel like meat or milk, but they're not. They're actually plant-based or bacteria that are similar to the ones that are in the gut of cows and animals like that. So there's so much work going on in the technology, but I think it will take a collective fix. I don't think one area, I don't think technology by itself will fix everything. I think it's going to take a collective concerted effort by people, you know, around behaviour change, around, you know, trying new things. Because we don't actually have a lot of time. I don't know if you've read the research around, you know, the IPCC report. You know, scientists say that 1.5 degrees Celsius is the maximum that we can go to before things are going to start getting pretty desperate on the planet. And right now we're tracking to 2, 2.5, maybe 3 degrees. So, you know, that 1.5 degrees threshold will be breached probably in the next decade. So things are going to get a lot worse for us in terms of, you know, more severe storms. So perhaps, you know, a storm, severe, you know, extreme weather event or storm or flooding that might have occurred every 100 years will now be occurring maybe every 10 or 15 years. So, you know, we're seeing the effects of that already, and the billions that it might cost us if we have to retreat or you know, adapt to that rapidly moving change.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because in the last, 3 years, it's been, you know, really dry for 3 years in a row, pretty much. I mean, and the water table must be getting incredibly low in the Waikato, I'd imagine. And, yeah, and even, like, the May just gone, it was such a, you know, it felt like more like March than May, you know. It was just really dry. And, yeah, it just made me think, I wonder if people who was kind of in the mindset of, oh, well, nah, it's a load of rubbish, climate change, blah, 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 I wonder if that'll kind of change their minds about that. I often think to myself, you know.
Well, we know that it's happening, so we're not debating it anymore. Like, we know things are changing, the weather's changing, like you say, it's warm. I mean, I've got birds nesting on my property right now. It's really wrong. They think it's warm. You know, there's lots of flies and mosquitoes around, so you know, things are changing, and we know that. And, you know, I guess the debate has probably been, is it from fossil fuels and is it human-induced? Some people still debate that. The scientists, 99% of scientists will say it is human-induced. You know, if you look at the last, I guess, maybe 100 years in New Zealand, you know, the temperature's risen about 1.2 degrees, and during that time, that's coincided with sea level rise, which is about 20 centimetres. So if you can imagine standing on a beach and that water, you know, is lapping around your toes 100 years ago, it's now almost up to your knees. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. And it's the same with the degree increase as well. There's a whopping difference between 1.5 degrees Celsius increase in temperature and 2 degrees increase in temperature. So, you know, we're going to see things like more disease, more insects, you know, more flooding, obviously, will be a weather event. And then there's going to be some other sort of stranger implications, like, you know, the ocean is a great sink or an absorber of CO2. So as more CO2 goes into the ocean, it's going to get more acidic. And as it gets more acidic, you're going to get shells and coral that will start to pretty much leach calcium carbonate from the shell, so the shells will start to collapse. So you're going to get all these strange effects in trophic webs, you know, like in food systems, and also for us, the implications for us will be big as well, obviously, in terms of food, in terms of disease, in terms of health. So there's going to be all sorts of impacts. So it's not just an environmental impact, it's, you know, social and economic. It's going to cost us billions of dollars, and it's going to actually cost us more money if we don't act than if we do act significantly. So, you know, like, talking about stepping up now.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, bringing it back to kind of agriculture as well, it's, I know the fall army worm was recently only just discovered over here in Tauranga, and now it's kind of getting throughout the Waikato, and they're kind of hoping it would probably die out over the winter if it got really cold. But yeah, if it stays like this, it won't, and then that's going to devastate a lot of the maize crops and things like that around the country. So it's going to have, yeah, it's going to impact sort of everyone, you know, every farmer, every person, really, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, that's just one example.
Yeah. And
so many things, you know, species decline, you know, shift in, I guess, species range, you know, some trees will die, some will adapt. But yeah, it's quite extraordinary, all the run-on effects. But, you know, the New Zealand government has committed internationally at COP26, the UN conference last year, to reducing CO2 by 50% by 2030. So that's triggered, well, partially the emissions reduction plan and other legislation and programs that they're putting in place. And they're amending the Resource Management Act as well, so that there'll be a climate action sort of act. And there'll be other, I'm trying to think of the other ones now, National Adaptation Plan, and there's another one I can't quite recall right now. So, you know, things are coming. But I think it's not just a top-down approach. It's, you know, it's bottom-up and top-down, and we meet in the middle, because we just can't, you know, do everything at one end or the other. We need to do it collectively.
And let's have a look at solutions here, Rachel. I mean, what are some of the solutions you see, especially in the Waikato, say?
In terms of agriculture?
Well, agriculture and just climate change in general, how, you know, what can we actually do about it, you know?
Yeah. So I said earlier, agriculture is like 48 to 50% of our emissions in New Zealand, and it's much, much higher in the Waikato. It's almost 70% because agriculture is the backbone of the economy. So that's a really, really difficult one to address. You know, some farmers are looking at regen agriculture. You know, some are looking at soil, because soil is the second largest sink or capturer of carbon after the ocean. So it's like looking after our soils, you know, avoiding erosion. It's about tree planting. Maybe start diversifying, you know, with your crops or your stock, because it's like putting all your eggs in one basket. You don't know what's going to happen in terms of, you know, disease. So mixed crop is good. In terms of travel, travel is the next highest one, energy and travel. That's nearly 40%. So, you know, looking at EVs, looking at carpooling, you know, public transport, you know, reducing flying, which that's been easy in the last couple of years with COVID.
But,
yeah, and then there's, you know, easier personal actions on the ground, like simple things, you know, like trying not to buy too much plastic, trying not to buy too much stuff, buying things that are durable, that will last longer, getting rechargeable batteries, taking a cloth bag shopping, just hundreds of things that you can do. People are interested in getting some ideas. On the Waikato District Council website, we've got a climate action page, and at the bottom of the page, there's a load of resources and PDFs that you can download about how to green up your business and, you know, eco tips, things you can do to reduce your emissions, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and is this, I don't know, gives maybe an insight into your day-to-day kind of workings at your job there, Rachel. I mean, these things that come over your desk, you look at these and... How does it work?
I've actually worked at home, to be honest, for the majority of the time with the COVID restrictions, which is good because I can get more done. I'm based in Raglan and the offices in Ngarawa here, but I will be going in next week to reconnect with people. A day for me, it's incredibly broad and varied. I can be writing articles or reports. I can be, you know, reading the latest science and inspiration from people out there doing some great stuff, developing, you know, community education program, tracking our emissions, so understanding all the different emitting activities like wastewater, energy, travel, how we're tracking, you know, writing a roadmap to reduce those and setting targets. Lots of meetings, strategy planning. It's very, very varied. It's like every hour or something different, lots of emails to respond to, because it goes across all areas of the organization, as you can imagine. Very, very, really interesting role, and there's lots, a huge amount happening in the space, so I'm feeling hopeful.
Well, that's great. Anything else you kind of want to add? If people want to get a hold of, you know, learn a bit more about climate change and, you know, what they can do, do you want to run us through that page again on your website you were talking about?
Yeah, so on the Waikato District Council website, we have a webpage called Climate Action, and there's a bit of information in the body of that. But if you scroll to the bottom, there's a lot of PDFs and resources that people can download. They're free, and they give you tips and ideas on, you know, how to live, I guess, more lightly, how to green up your business. Climate Change Explained, there's some fact sheets on that, and all the climate jargon, you know, people often say, what is CO2e, or what is, you know, what's the IPCC? So there's, all those things are explained in it, so people are happy to, you know, have a look and download and use what you like.
All right. Any other resources you can guide the listeners to, Rachel?
Well, it depends what they're interested in. If they're interested in, you know, the science and where we're tracking, the IPCC latest report's huge. That's pretty dense of the science, though. There's a lot of resources on the internet if you just tap in climate change in New Zealand and get a sense of what the government's doing as well. The emissions reduction plan is pretty comprehensive, and that's probably worth a look as well, because it sets a roadmap for how New Zealand will deliver on its targets to reducing the greenhouse gases, and it touches on all the different sectors. So that's definitely worth a look. But... there's masses of it. It's so topical. And it's funny, isn't it, how rapidly it's become, key in all, you know, media, you know, maybe 20 years ago it really wasn't. We probably didn't understand enough then, but we certainly do now.
For sure.
I guess understanding half the battle of, you know, to action, I guess, to doing something about it.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, it's certainly topical now, and yeah. Well, I'm pleased the council's taking you on as you sound like the perfect person for the job anyway, Rachel. So go well. Hope it all works out all right.
Great. Yeah, you too, Craig. Take care.
All right. Well, thanks very much for coming on the show here on Wrexham Community Radio and Free FM. Rachel, really appreciate it, and we'll keep in touch.
Cool. Take care. Cheers.
All right. Thanks very much, Rachel. Cheers.
Bye.
There we are, folks. Rachel Goddard talking to us there about climate change and her role in the Waikato District Council. Yes, must have a plate full, all right. And that's kind of it for the show for today. Bit of a ropey one, but hey, there we are. And so I guess to finish off, I'll continue playing the David Kilgore and the Heavy Axe on Diamond Mine, climate changey kind of one. So, ka kite anō, folks. Have a great week, and I'll be back in, no doubt, well, hopefully, next week.